Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. You know, I don't think we could have gotten a more perfect person and a more perfect book to talk about today on our Thanksgiving Day than Sean Sherman, the sous chef. His brand new cookbook is just out. It's called The Sous Chef's Indigenous Kitchen, and he put it together with Beth Dooley, who was our guest on the show a few weeks back. Hey, Sean, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, I asked you before we went on the air if you wanted to kind of touch on the idea of Thanksgiving. And you pointed out so beautifully that there is a certain amount of negativity that comes from this mythology that we've created about Thanksgiving, and that the colonists and the natives were all friendly and everybody loved everybody else, and this was this wonderful, warm kind of a thing. But it sounds like you could rewrite that, you know, people could start rewriting that mythology, maybe. And then I opened your book, and I came across a recipe for wild applesauce, and all of a sudden I had all of these good feelings. So you said we can rewrite the mythology a little bit. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I think, you know, with this book, it's just giving people a perspective of, you know, hopefully to think about and understand the indigenous culture and backbone that's been in anywhere you grew up, if you're from North America, the U.S., that there's been indigenous culture there. And we just really wanted to point that out, of the kind of amazing diversity of all sorts of different foods and all sorts of different regions and all sorts of different cultures that are still around and still extremely vibrant. And it's just really healthy food that's been here for a long time, because it's, you know, these foods that have been here for thousands of years that people have utilized. I mean, we just really tried to create healthy and fun recipes using only indigenous ingredients, and, you know, just bringing into light a lot of the strengths of the indigenous knowledge of food systems.
Well, you said that many Europeans cook some native foods at the holiday time, but you might not even really realize where they came from. Tell me that the yams with the little marshmallows did not come from indigenous
right.
culture. I'm just checking.
Well, you know, the yams for sure, but not the marshmallows.
Not the marshmallows? Okay. All right.
So, but it's one, you know, it's that one holiday of the year that people are cooking indigenous foods, whether they realized it or not, with the turkey and the pumpkins and the cranberries and, you know, all those kinds of pieces. And it is kind of celebrating the natural harvests of North America.
So tell me, if you were going to throw together a Thanksgiving meal, and I gotta hope, I really do have to hope, that today of all days, your family does the cooking and you just get to put your feet up and watch the Vikings.
So, you know, we enjoy cooking on a yearly basis. So cooking indigenous foods for us is something that we do pretty much every day. But, you know, it's a fun time of year to have a big dinner for everybody and to celebrate a bunch of harvests. And, you know, like, we're collecting things throughout the year, too. So we always have things like, you know, dried morel mushrooms, dried chanterelles, and things that we can utilize on special occasions. So for us, it's just kind of fun to, you know, have a chance to do a big dinner for a group, especially a family.
So what's on the Sherman's Thanksgiving table for today? Did you cook a recipe, or did you create a meal right out of the cookbook, or did the cookbook come from what you usually come in, you know, cook in part for Thanksgiving?
No, I'm actually not cooking today, so
good.
I'm actually being treated. So yep. I'm looking forward to whatever I'm being served today.
So you haven't been out there poking around in the kitchen and they just say no, get in the other room.
Well, we cook every day, but you know, yeah, I'm happy to be cooked for.
Do you have to do the dishes when you get cooked for?
I don't mind that.
You're a good sport, Sean. So what would you, if you were going to design a perfect Thanksgiving out of your gorgeous cookbook, and it really is a beauty. One of the things I like
Thanks.
About it is that it's a hefty cookbook, but it's not so monstrous that it's going to be unwieldy when you have it in the kitchen and it's getting splattered with stuff. What would you cook out of this cookbook to make the perfect Thanksgiving meal if you didn't get to not cook?
You know, I think there's all sorts of stuff, because there's lots of fun game recipes in there. You know, we have things with rabbit, we've got things with goose, we've got all sorts of side dishes, we've got all sorts of squash, hominy, you know, from corn and things like that. And I think there's plenty of stuff to choose from that really, you know, fits in well, especially with this holiday. And it's just really cooking with ingredients that are local and kind of hyper-local to us even, and utilizing a lot of some of the wild flavors that are around us. Like we use a lot of cedar and rosehip and stuff we find right outside our door.
If someone picks up a copy of this cookbook and they're not really familiar with perhaps indigenous cooking, are they going to find it intimidating? Drawing a silly parallel, but I know that Julia Child's cookbook was definitely not for an amateur, that there was a lot of, you know, unfamiliar food and unfamiliar techniques, and that it really would have been a challenge for a beginning cook. What kind of cook can pick up your book and make a great meal?
Well, I mean, these are just foods that are right from our area, because we wrote this book heavily with ingredients right around us in the Minnesota area. And even though it might look a little bit different, my business partner always calls it ironically foreign.
Okay, I like that.
It's really just foods that we see all the time. We have apples and cranberries and squash and corn and, you know, there's all sorts of beans and wild rice and wild game and maple and mushrooms. And it's just stuff that we see all the time. It's just for us, we've just kind of decolonized the diet and have tried to only use indigenous ingredients. So for our book, you know, we've cut out things that weren't here before. So there's no wheat flour or dairy or processed sugar or beef, pork, or chicken. And we're just showcasing, like, there's all sorts of great food right around us, as there always have been.
And so you might need to find somebody who hunts. If you don't have access to, you know, if you can't go down to the grocery store, for example, and find, you know, grouse or pheasant, you might have to start befriending hunters in order to get some of the meat that you need.
And there's a few stores that can sell, like, you know, there's some co-ops and things like that. You can find rabbit at sometimes. So there's ingredients around for people if they want to keep their eyes open.
Sean, thank you so much for taking a little time this morning of all mornings, and I'm so glad to hear that you didn't have to get up early and start a big meal, and enjoy kicking back and just relaxing, and then enjoy the dishes later today, okay?
All right, miigwech.
Thank you, Sean. Yep. Sean Sherman, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. He is the sous chef and the author of The Sous Chef's Indigenous Kitchen, a book that he wrote with Beth Dooley, and she was our guest not long ago right here on Minnesota Reads.